What's cracking, big dogs? Welcome back to the channel. Welcome back to headquarters. My name is Nicholas. This is BDGE. Big dogs gotta eat. Fantasy football. It's Tuesday, which means is Don't Say the Car's Topless Tuesday. New Dynasty series each and every Tuesday morning where we are exposing one rookie being drafted far, 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 far too late in rookie drafts. Last week was mock week, all right? So we took our Discord channel, we rounded up the troops, we rounded up all the big dogs, and we put them through a vigorous, vigorous week of dynasty startup mock drafts as well as rookie drafts. So we have the best sample size in the industry right now. We ripped through, I want to say, 70 startup dynasty drafts and 20 to 25 rookie mock drafts. Mike is behind the scenes working on the ADP data, which we will have hand-delivered to everybody out there for free. Make sure you're following the brand on all the social medias, which will be linked down below. Make sure you're following myself on Twitter, and we will drop that ADP data sometime this week when Mike gets around to compiling everything. But now that we have some real ADP data, I can actually go off the different values and stop talking about guys that aren't undervalued because they're not getting drafted as high as fake people are talking about in the fake news. We're not here for fake news, though. We're here to take the car and make it topless. Today's video, we're talking about a 220-pound running back out of the Sun Belt Conference. Three straight seasons of 1,000 yards from scrimmage while sharing the backfield with two other NFL running back prospects. Simply put, he ain't getting the love that he deserves, okay? We're about to dive into it. First, tuck your shirt in. Stop yelling. Don't say the car's topless. We say the titties is out. And let's eat. All right, you see the number on the screen. 646-328-6601. We've got some good news. The Rookie Dynasty Draft Guide, which we are now producing for the second year in a row, maybe the third year in a row, I already forget, my fucking brain cells are gone to mush, is officially available for pre-order, which is a discount price on bigdogsdraftguide.com. But guess what? If you text this number, you say the words topless, T-O-P-L-E-S-S, text topless to 646-328-6601, I'm going to throw you a 10% off discount code when you pre-order the Rookie Draft Guide. So you're getting the pre-order pricing, plus you're getting the topless code. Text this number. In the Rookie Dynasty Guide, we have rookie profiles of every player, the top 60 to 70 rookies that are going to impact the fantasy season. We've got exclusive mock drafts on there. We've got our rookie rankings for myself, Noah, and Mike. We've got our full dynasty rankings on there. We've got a ton of exclusive articles on exactly how to attack your startup drafts, how to attack your rookie drafts, our favorite late round sleeper picks, our favorite late round targets for running backs, for wide receivers in the rookie. Like, it's a whole lot of shit that if you're new into dynasty, we will guide you the right way. So bigdogsdraftguide.com. Text topless to this number and I will send you back the code for 10% off. It's time to peel the top back. The running back we're referring to out of the University of Louisiana in the Sun Belt Conference is none other than Elijah Mitchell. He is a four-year player at the University of Louisiana. You don't often see the running back stay for 4 years, but we've seen that be the case for a lot of them in this draft class. We've seen it for Najee Harris. We've seen it for Travis Etienne. We've seen a few guys go back to the school. You know, they want to party a little bit. They want to have a good time, whatever, whatever. Ball out, and they come out as seniors. I'm not going to hold it against him. He's going to be 23 years old soon, but he did break out as a 20-year-old sophomore. Anytime you play in the Sun Belt Conference, anytime you play in a non-Power 5 conference, there's always going to be a double-edged sword there. You're going to say, oh, this guy's a great value. He flies under the radar. He's not that well-known. Therefore, I'm going to be targeting him. That also encompasses an automatic negative red flag to this player for not having real competition, right? Not having that Power 5 competition. Even if a guy doesn't perform that well, he plays in the SEC, maybe he averages 5.3, 5.5 yards per carry or something, can you usually chalk that up to elite competition at the college level. If you're in the Sun Belt Conference, you know, and you're putting up shitty numbers, massive red flag. He didn't put up shitty numbers, so I just want to kind of throw that out there. We're going to work through the pros. We're going to work through the cons. We want to give you the full rookie profile of Elijah Mitchell. Now, the reason I brought up the mock week to begin with, all the mocks that we've run through the Big Dogs Discord channel, Elijah Mitchell is a fourth round pick in almost every one of these rookie drafts. We've seen him at the 402. We've seen him at the 408. We've seen him all over the fourth round. The story of Elijah Mitchell, four-year player at University of Louisiana, 5'11", 220 pounds. Let me repeat that. 5'11", 220 pounds. You look no further than that workhorse size. You know, any bigger, you might be too big. Any smaller, You might be labeled as, you know, an athlete or a scat back or some shit like that. But 5'11", 218, ooh, that gets me going. He just looks like one of those dudes that's like an athlete. Like, you see him on the field, he's chiseled, he's got good size, he just looks powerful and he looks strong. He looks like the best athlete on the field. Just looks like a beast. He just looks like someone who could just like point at any girl and that girl's just going to go have sex with him immediately. It's just looks like an alpha. And the hairline, that's a beta hairline, but the dude looks like an alpha. Along with the size, he obviously has to have the production, right? If you're going to be in a Sunbelt conference, you better put up some monster fucking production. And he did so. As I mentioned before, last three seasons, 2020, 19, 18, 1,000 yards from scrimmage in all three of those seasons while splitting the backfield with two NFL prospects. We had Raymond Calais, who was drafted last year to the Buccaneers, and you had his backfield mate this year, Trey Ragas. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Trey Ragas, Ragas, Trey, R-A-G-A-S. That's pretty damn impressive. The size, he's got the production while splitting the backfield with other NFL caliber backs. Now, they're not, of course, workhorses or studs in the NFL, at least not at this point. It's good to see that while playing in the Sun Belt Conference. Now, this dude I follow on Twitter, Pete Davidson, at Rotobon, no relation to Ariana Grande's Pete Davidson. Still a good guy, though. Still a guy I would follow. I would follow both Pete Davidsons on Twitter. So Elijah Mitchell from Louisiana has my attention. He reminds me a little bit of Ryan Matthews. Y'all remember Ryan Matthews? You remember that look that Ryan Matthews had? Like, he was a pure athlete, workhorse running back. You see him, and you're like, he's going to be the next stud. Almost like that feeling you get with Joe Mixon. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes they look better than they actually play, and that kind of happens a lot of the time. Elijah Mitchell, man, ever since he put that Ryan Matthews seed into my head, he's not the shiftiest back. He's not the most elusive, but he's pretty damn athletic. You just look at this play. He's making these tough catches behind his back, making dudes miss after that. While, you know, you have to have some pretty damn good balance, some pretty good hand-eye coordination. That play reminds me so much of Ryan Matthews. If you told me that was Ryan Matthews in school, I would have believed that on a play like that. A guy who can do anything out of the backfield and make it look easy and smooth and athletic, even though it was the opposite of that. Back to the elusive ratings, right? I like to dive in a little bit more into the advanced analytics, because we have good websites like PFF and we have Sports Info Solutions that can give us more of a granular look at how these guys played on the field opposite of the offensive line. Dating back to 2018, he was among the NCAA leaders in terms of broken tackle rate and yards after contact per both of those sites. In 2019, 2020, he was top 20 among NCAA running backs in elusiveness and broken tackle rate and yards after contact. And he has very, very good, you know, he's not the most agile player, but he's got very good agility behind the line of scrimmage in order to like identify the hole. You know, those guys who kind of hit the line of scrimmage and then either run into the back of their offensive line, or they kind of wait for a sec, they get shifty, they see the hole, and they're able to do that little like that little one cut shimmy. Hit that hole hard. That's exactly what Elijah Mitchell does. And I think that's a very underrated skill for a running back. That's the difference between losing a yard and gaining 4 or 5 yards, and, you know, on the yards per carry number, that eventually adds up over a tall task of volume. And just going back to that Ryan Matthews comp, man, I think Ryan Matthews was a player who probably would have excelled in the NFL. I don't know if he ever would hit his height, but he had a ton of injury history and a ton of injury concerns. He just kept getting hurt over and over, so we were never able to put together a full season. He did have a couple seasons in the NFL of over 1,400 yards from scrimmage, so by no means was he a giant bust, but he probably didn't live up to the potential that a lot of people kind of had hoped for.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think in Elijah Mitchell, you see a little bit of like TJ Yeldon too. So it's not all fucking sunshine and upper elite athlete comps, right? You see a little bit of the TJ Yeldon, who is a great athlete and he's built like a great athlete, but doesn't always succumb to what we think he's going to end up being. Lastly, the Senior Bowl was like last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever. We hear a lot of hype out of the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl. Fucking love Reese's. Best Halloween candy out there. Fact, not opinion. Performed very well at the Senior Bowl, apparently. One of the top three backs there. And that's great to see for a guy coming out of the Sun Belt Conference, obviously, okay? Because you're playing your entire college career against guys who are not going to the NFL. Of course, you're going to put up good production. Once you get to the Senior Bowl practices, and you get to the Senior Bowl game, and you get there for the week, and you're there around, you know, SEC coaches and SEC players and Power 5 players in general, and you can hold your own, if not excel, that tells me, you know, you are on par with those guys. There's a lot of good for Elijah Mitchell. Why is he going the fourth round? Why don't players know about him? Why don't people know about him? Why is he not more relevant in the fantasy world? Well, we got to get into the cons, of course, right? We're saying the car's topless, but maybe they got a broken fucking tire. That's what we're doing on these Tuesday videos. These guys are values, meaning there's going to be stuff wrong with them. So I want to give you the good, I want to give you the bad, and I want to let y'all decide what you think about them. We talk about having three down size, workhorse size, 5'11", 220. Yeah, he could stay on the field for all three downs, but will an NFL team use him on all three downs? Is he good on all three downs, right? One of the key metrics we try to look at when we're talking about players coming out of the NCAA and whether or not they're going to contribute on third downs is, you know, that reception total number. Normally, I want to see at least one season of 25 catches or more for a college running back. They play a limited number of games, so 25 is a good barometer of whether or not they're a good pass catcher. Obviously, that's not a blanket statement. There's white and there's gray and there's black and there's fucking all different contexts that can be put behind college running back. But Elijah Mitchell never had a season of over 20 receptions. However, that sophomore season, he caught 20 passes for 349 yards and three touchdowns. That is 17 and a half yards per reception. 17 and a half yards, that's like what DeSean Jackson averages on his receptions in the NFL. So yes, he never had a season above 20 catches. I also like to look for explosiveness. There are some guys, and I mentioned this during the, I believe it's Jamar Jefferson's video, and I talked about my top five rookie running backs going into this year. I talked about how, like, yes, can he play on all three downs? He had 25 catches his freshman year, and then he had like seven catches, eight catches the year following. That's a red flag for me. That 25 catches is nice, but when you look at the yards per reception, 5.9 yards per reception. What does that tell you? Not a big playmaker in the passing game, or all of his catches were dump offs behind the line of scrimmage screens and he didn't do much with them. So the volume is there, but the efficiency is not, which means over the long run, that will probably play itself out. Where this is kind of the opposite of that. 20 catches, 349 fucking yards in the air. Okay, so the overall volume, a little bit of concern. Can he actually catch, you know, 30, 40 passes in the NFL to be a consistent RB2 or higher? And that's what we're looking for in these rookie players. Going to be 23 years old soon. He did break out as a sophomore, so I'm not really, this is not like a wide receiver thing where we're worried about a late breakout age, but 23 years old, something that you want to note. You know, we do it for Najee Harris. We do it for these older guys. I think it's just worth mentioning. The other thing worth mentioning is that the offensive line for Louisiana, very, very, very fucking good. Just dominates the Sun Belt Conference. In his career, Mitchell had 44 total carries against Power 5 teams. How much does this shit translate into the NFL? And that's where athletics and measurables and those kind of things really come into play to give you the total picture of a player. Because you can produce on a field against lesser competition, but if you're still running, you know, a 4.4 to 4.45 or something like that, like real NFL speed, that tells me, okay, you can produce and you're as athletic as everybody else on the field. Elijah Mitchell, that's going to be a concern because I don't see this guy getting up to Ryan Matthews ran a 4.45 at 222 pounds, I believe it was. TJ Yeldon ran a 4.61 at 226 pounds. So Matthews' weight-adjusted speed score was in the 94th percentile, where Yeldon's was in like the 64th percentile, both above average. That's what we need to see from Elijah Mitchell. We need him to run a sub 4.640. If he can get in that 4.55 range, I think he ran a 4.61 coming out of high school. And I'd like to assume you become a better athlete once you go to college and are there for 4 years and produce at a high level. You'll probably a bit faster, you've got more muscle, you're a better athlete overall, and I want to say that will transfer into the 40-yard dash for him this year. So the long speed is going to be a concern. That's probably the delta between Elijah Mitchell and Ryan Matthews. Does he have that legit NFL speed to burst through the line, to make big plays that boosts up all the other padding stat numbers? Again, though, he did produce with two other NFL running backs, and that's again the problem with producing in a conference like this is, yeah, it's very possible that some of these guys actually are, you know, compared to like Memphis, right, where they're just producing NFL talent year over year over year over year, not all of them pan out. You have Gibson, who's going to be an RB1 this year. Then you also have Darrell Henderson, where his college numbers, because his offensive line was so good, and he's got that 4.4 speed, where if no one's touching you, you're bursting through the line. That 2,000 yards back in 2018 or 2017, whenever he did that at Memphis, looks a lot better than Darrell Henderson actually is as a player. And that could be the case for someone coming out of Louisiana, obviously. If you have a dominant offensive line playing against defenders who are not NFL caliber defenders, your production is going to be there. Overall, you've got the reception volume, you've got playing in the Sun Belt Conference, long speed. The last one, and probably the most important one for me, is going to be the draft capital. If a team takes a liking to Mitchell, I pray that he goes on to day two, like late day two, fourth round the latest. But if he ends up going rounds 5 through 7, we might have a problem. I did see a tweet thrown out here somewhere that Elijah Mitchell's a former running back. The New York Giants' new offensive line coach coached while at Louisiana last year, 5'11", 218 pounds, is someone to keep your eye on in the later rounds of this year's draft as a potential backup for Saquon Barkley. So again, this is a guy to keep an eye on, but of course, if something like that happens in the draft where he's a 5th, 6th, 7th round pick to the New York Giants, he's off the board for rookie drafts. Based on what we know right now, based on the profile, based on the workhorse size, based on the production while sharing the backfield with two other NFL prospects, just based on some of the film that we've seen, what he looks like on the field, the comps that I have for him at the NFL level, he's someone that actually has legitimate upside. Rather than picking some of these, you know, 5'9", 178 pound running backs in this class that are like kind of exciting and shifty and fun on film, this guy's got some actual NFL staying power type workhorse upside. But we're going to keep a close eye on his pro day to see his 40 time, and then obviously draft capital. If we can get round 4 or earlier for my man's Elijah Mitchell, It's wheels up, and every fourth round pick you have in your rookie draft should be going towards Elijah Mitchell. If he hits birdies on both of those things, he's going to end up being a third round pick, if not moving up to the early second round. If you look at the early or the late second round, I should say, if you look at the late second round of last year's rookie drafts, it started getting into the Zach Mosses, the Anthony McFarlands, like that era. I even mean like Darrington Evans started to go in like a 3-1, 3-2 era. I think that's where we'll start to see Elijah Mitchell as more videos and content like this starts to be put out there for the boss, Elijah Mitchell, a.k.a. the second coming of Ryan Matthews. This one's a little bit different than the previous one, as we did Rashad Bateman on the first Don't Say the Cards Topless Tuesday video series. He's a first-round pick, and in the rookie mock drafts we've done, he's starting to go as early as like the 106, 107, 108 in that range, so no longer a value. As soon as we put his fucking name on the Don't Say the titty list, top list, whatever the fuck this video is anymore, all bets are off. Elijah Mitchell, stonks going up. Hit the thumbs up button if you enjoyed. Mike and Noah will see you tomorrow for Bunk Bed Breakdowns, our full long-form video dynasty show each week. Make sure you go cop the draft guide. Pre-order available right now. Text me at this number, 646-328-6601. Text TOPLESS to this number. You're going to get 10% off the Rookie Dynasty draft guide. Pre-order now. Peace.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.